Beloved congregation, the Lord's Supper is a family meal. And just like at supper time at home, members of the family don't receive an invitation. Mom simply says, "Supper is ready. Come to the table. Come and eat." And in the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ issues a loving command, saying to his people, "Do this in remembrance of me." And with that loving command that sounds like an invitation, Jesus calls his family to come and dine with him, telling us, "All things are ready. Come and dine. Take and eat. Take and drink. I desire to have this supper with you." Now, children, we know that the Lord Jesus had a natural family here on this earth. Father Joseph, Mother Mary, several brothers and sisters he had. That was his natural earthly family. And at the supper table in Joseph's house, Jesus joined the family circle. Those boys didn't need an invitation. Mary would say, "Supper's ready, boys." And like the other boys, Jesus would have to wash up before supper, and he would join the family around the table. Now, we know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man that way, but also we know him as the Son of God. Jesus has an earthly family, and Jesus has a spiritual family. Like all believers, you have a natural family too. And you have a spiritual family. Ever think about how amazing that is, that in your spiritual family, your dad can be your brother in Christ? Your daughter-in-law can be your sister in Christ? Sometimes we lose sight of that distinction between our natural family and our spiritual family. True in church life too. We can consider everyone in church this morning our church family. But your real church family is the spiritual family that's gathered here. That's especially when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We need to keep that distinction clear. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, showed us that his true family was not necessarily his natural family, but that his true family was those who do the will of God. When the Lord's Supper is administered, Jesus says to his true family, "Come and dine." This morning we're going to consider how the Lord Jesus taught who his true family is, and that he says to that true family, "Do this in remembrance of me." We're looking at Mark chapter 3 this morning, verses 20 and 21 and 31 to 35. Let me just read to you verse 35 of Mark chapter 3. This is God's word. "For whoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." In other words, that's my family. That's our theme this morning. Jesus' true family. First, we will see what the people thought his true family was. And then secondly, what Jesus taught who his true family is. In Mark chapter 3, the Lord Jesus is very busy, as he always was. He's ordained his 12 disciples there. He goes into someone's house where he casts out a demon. And in that house, he faces a wicked accusation that they say he does that because he has a devil. That's what they said about the Lord Jesus' children, that he has a devil. To which Jesus replied, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" And yet, in that very context, Jesus spoke of sins being forgiven. All kinds of sins will be forgiven, he says. Except one. There's an unpardonable sin where we call the Holy Spirit's work Satan's work. That cannot be forgiven, says Jesus. And then you read in verse 20, the multitude comes together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. Like so many other times when you read in the Gospels, the crowds are gathered around Jesus. And they are so busy and so crowded that Jesus and his disciples can't even eat their supper. The Lord Jesus is so involved in his ministry that he cannot and he does not stop to eat. And we see how he served others, how selflessly he behaved. That he was so involved in his sacred ministry that he would skip meals to be a servant. Sometimes you meet people like that. They're so dedicated to their work. Some so dedicated to their games, whatever they're playing. But you rarely meet Christians who are so dedicated to their Christian conduct and life. When we see people so committed to something, we say one of two things. We either praise them for their dedication, or we say, there's something wrong with that guy for sure. He must be out of his mind. How do the people react when they see Jesus so busy that he cannot even stop to eat? Either because he can't or doesn't want to. Verse 21, when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is beside himself. Now the Greek word for friends there means his kinsmen, his relatives. His relatives knew Jesus was very busy. They knew how dedicated he was to his ministry. They even know that he's in that house where he's so crowded around with people that he can't even eat his supper. They've heard of that predicament. And they go. They leave their home and they thought, we will go and help Jesus. They went out to lay hold on him. Why? Because he is beside himself. They thought, we better go and rescue Jesus. Even if we have to take him by force, we have to get him out of there. Why are they so anxious to get a hold of him? Well, they express it this way. He is beside himself. What does that mean? You can't take that literally. A person can't be literally beside himself. But figuratively, it means he is out of his mind. Think now about what's happening in this chapter. His enemies are saying he has a devil. That's how he casts out devils. His relatives, his kinsmen are saying he's out of his mind. He's lost his senses. And so we're going to go to that house and rescue him. When they get to the house, they see that it's all true what they've heard. The people are all crowded around Jesus. They're all sitting around him, pushing so close that he can't even eat. That crowd is so thick that his relatives can't get close to him. They can't get into the house. Can't even get inside. They're outside. Verse 31. It came then his brothers and his mother, and standing outside, sent to him, calling him. And the multitude sat around him, and they said to him, behold, thy mother and thy brothers outside seek for thee. You can just picture this happening, can't you? They're standing outside, and they whisper to somebody, go tell Jesus, your family's here, and we need to talk to him. So the people are whispering to each other, go tell Jesus. And the message gets to Jesus. He hears it. Look, your mother and your brothers outside are looking for you. He knows them. They're his acquaintances, his natural family members. And that's what those people call him, your mother and your brothers. They knew him. They knew his brothers. They knew from Mark 6, you can know that he has a brother called James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. And he has some sisters. These are the people who thought Jesus is out of his mind. All this busyness has gotten to him. We have to do something. We have to help Jesus. We have to rescue him. If we don't look after him, he's not going to look after himself. We have to help him. We need an intervention After all, we're his family. That's what they thought. And that's what the people thought. They thought Jesus' natural family was his real family. But we're going to hear this morning that they were wrong. Because we're going to hear what, not only what the people thought, but what Jesus taught. That's our second point. He answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" What a strange answer. What a strange thing to say. They tell him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." And he says to them, not to his mother and his brothers, but those who speak to him, "Who is my mother or my brothers? You say they're outside, they want to talk to me? But I have a question for you. Who is my family? Who's my mother and my brothers?" "Well, Jesus, surely you know who your family members are." Of course he does. But his true family are not the ones standing outside looking for him. In fact, he looked around about on them which sat around him, and he said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." Who was that was around him there? When you compare scripture with scripture, Matthew tells us at this point, Jesus stretched forth his hand towards his disciples. And he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." So, the first reference is to his disciples. "That's my mother and my brothers. That's my family. Look at my family here. My family is my disciples." And that also explains how the disciples are his true family. And we learn what a true disciple is. It is a person who does the will of God. Jesus teaches that in our text. My family, my disciples are those who do the will of God. My disciples are my true family. And that holds true this morning too. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that question comes to you and to me. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus? Are you a person who does God's will? That's what Jesus says in our text, verse 35. "Whoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Matthew puts it this way, "Whoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven." Luke puts it just a little bit differently, "My mother and my brethren are those who hear the word of God and do it." So Jesus is teaching us this morning, my true family consists of those who do the will of God, who do the will of my Father which is in heaven. My true family consists of those who hear the word of God and do it. And the Lord's Supper is for those who do God's will as it is revealed in the word of God. Jesus uses the word whoever. Whoever shall do the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother, my family. And that word whoever is an inclusive word, isn't it? It's an inclusive. Whoever does the will of God, whether that's an old person or a young person, male or female, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, no matter what nationality, whoever does the will of God is my family. But that word whoever is also exclusive. It excludes everyone who does not do the will of God. But that brings up a big question, doesn't it? What does it mean to do the will of God? Isn't God's will going to be done anyway? God's will shall stand. Thy will be done, we pray. But here Jesus is talking about people who do the will of God. What is the will of God? What is it that God wills that we do? You turn to Scripture. then the Lord Jesus Christ reveals the will of God. Jesus invites and draws and enables sinners to perform that will of God. That's the good and gracious gospel of the will of God. The gospel itself equips us with the power whereby we may do the will of God. That's why Paul writes in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Some people came to Jesus and they asked him a question. What work must we do to do the work, or we could say the will of God? And Jesus answered this way. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. So doing the will of God, when you strip everything else away, means believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, expecting all of salvation from him and him alone, and nothing from you. In John 6, verse 40, Jesus says that this is the will of him that sent me, or the will of God, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So God's will is that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him. And beloved congregation of Jordan HRC, you have seen the Son. You have seen Jesus Christ. Yes, you have. Paul writes that very same thing to the church in Galatia. He says, before your eyes, Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth as crucified among you. And in the preaching of the gospel and in the administration of the sacraments, Jesus Christ has been set before you, crucified among you. And now God's will is that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. So when you see him displayed in the gospel proclamation, when you see him displayed in the sacraments, believe on him. And God's will is that you would have eternal life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. So yes, to do God's will is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with a true faith. Because Scripture makes it abundantly clear. Without faith in Christ Jesus, it is impossible to please God. And whatever is not of faith is sin. Doing God's will means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe the gospel. And when we do that, there comes this promise, you may have eternal life. And Peter tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will, that all should come to repentance. What God wills is that you and I, by his grace, repent of our sins and believe the gospel, that we turn from our sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive pardon for our sins in Christ Jesus. Doing God's will is to believe that wholeheartedly. And sinners can and indeed do the will of God, all by God's amazing grace. But no one is able to do the will of God except by the power and grace of God. Paul teaches that so clearly in Ephesians 2. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In Philippians 2, he writes to us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, to will and to do God's will. It is only by the grace of God that we do it. It takes the almighty power of God to save a sinner like me and a sinner like you. The disciples one time asked Jesus, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. It is that substitutionary atoning sacrifice of Christ that saves sinners like us. The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. And in the Lord's Supper, Jesus says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, many sinners, not just a few, but many. Man is helpless in himself. We are completely dependent on the mercy and the compassion of the Lord. We read over and over in the gospel how Jesus, when he saw people, was moved with compassion towards them. And Jesus teaches us that we need this genuine faith in order to do the will of God. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. To another person he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And many times, children, the family members of the Lord Jesus Christ have to say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. Because no believer can say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with a perfect faith. So that means I'm doing the will of God. No believer can say, my delight is that I do the will of God perfectly. No, the truth is, our imperfect faith has as its object the perfect Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Lord's Supper, all the focus is on Christ Jesus, who says of himself, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So, are you a member of Christ's true family? Are you doing the will of God, your Father in heaven? Meaning, according to what Jesus says, are you believing and trusting and hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Are you looking to him alone? That includes being sorry for your sins and yet trusting that those sins are forgiven you for Christ's sake alone. And that includes being earnestly desiring to have your faith strengthened, because faith is so often fickle and feeble and wavering. And to have your life more holy, because that becomes the burden of your soul when you are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus says to his family members, do this in remembrance of me. Take this bread and eat it. Take this wine and drink it. And when you, by God's grace, belong to Jesus' true family, you are welcome at his supper. There's no natural family members at the table of the Lord. Did you ever think about that? All the family members at the Lord's table are adopted. Adopted. United to the Lord Jesus Christ by the bond of true faith. And that means, beloved, that all your unrighteousnesses have been put on His account. And all His righteousness has been put on your account. And that means the life you live by grace, by the grace of God. Are you living the Christian life by the grace of God? Doing the will of God, which is really simplified by the Lord Jesus this morning. The people thought Jesus' natural family, that's His true family. But Jesus says, no. My true family are those who do the will of God, who do the will of my Father. And that will is for sinners to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. And when you are doing the will of God, meaning this, believing and trusting and expecting and hoping in Him alone, then you know it is God's work in you. So all the praise and all the glory and all the honor goes right back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.